Welcome to the Cloud Computing Show, episode number 5. Thanks for joining us today. My name is Gary Ornstein. I'm the host of the Cloud Computing Show. And with me today is our guest, Michael Crandell, the CEO of RightScale. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Gary.
Thanks for joining us today.
You're quite welcome. Thanks for having us.
I wanted to jump right into some industry discussion. Today, October 23rd, Amazon had a big announcement about EC2. Getting into full production, the beta label's gone, and new activity about service level agreements, a whole host of things. You obviously spend a lot of time with Amazon in your capacity as CEO of RightScale, but separately, just as an industry observer, how significant is the news, in your opinion, from Amazon today, and what do you think the impact is to the industry as a whole?
Well, we see the announcement as two great leaps forward. On the one hand, taking the beta level off and offering an SLA is actually a major advance for a whole set of customers in regard to what EC2 has been and is. The uptime for EC2 has really been stellar, and some of this we've remarked on in our CTO Torsten von Eichen's blog. It's been stellar historically, but nevertheless, an SLA and taking the beta label off is kind of putting a stick in the stand of what customers can expect. I think we'll have more entries about the SLA coming out in our blog in terms of detailed comments as to the specifics, but in general, it's putting a stake in the sand and saying, here's what you can expect from us, and here's the basis on which you can scream at us if we don't deliver. And so clearly for larger companies that are looking for some contractual business level back up to what has been historically good performance, that's important. Also, the announcement of support for Windows, we all know that, I don't have the exact statistics, but in terms of installed base of server operating systems, it's probably the largest worldwide, and so that's a very substantial addition.
Yeah, I think there are people who, you know, were intrigued by the idea of cloud computing and Amazon EC2, but you know, without having that Windows component, it's hard to be able to say you can put just about everything that you'd like there, and now they can do that.
It's very true. We, you know, from our own experience, we think Windows is probably less used for the highly variable load kinds of deployments, although it sometimes is. But clearly, it's a linchpin to the cloud moving ahead as what the dream is, which is that it's changing the way infrastructure, IT infrastructure, is delivered and consumed across the board. Also, it's probably not an accident that that announcement came right before the Microsoft Professional Developers Conference next week, at which we're all anticipating some announcements from Microsoft about their offerings in the cloud.
Well, there's certainly a lot to digest from that Amazon announcement, so it'll be really interesting to keep our eyes on that activity. Elsewhere, I saw, I think this was last week, that Rackspace made a couple of small acquisitions, Jungle Disk, an online backup service, and a virtual machine provider, Slicehost. And I wanted to ask you a more broader question. It does appear that a number of companies that were perhaps historically perceived or tried to be general hosting providers are now trying to bundle and bulk up with a lot of services to compete head-on with some of the cloud computing giants. Where do you think this shakes out? How much room is there for folks like Rackspace and others to keep bundling in, and how do you see that playing out in the industry?
So we think there's a lot of room, and we think it's a trend that has already gained momentum and will continue. And just to comment on a little bit deeper, we announced support last month for the GoGrid Cloud and the FlexiScale Cloud, in addition to Amazon. You know, just to take a second and compliment Amazon, they've been a brilliant pioneer in this space, and they really occupy a special position by virtue of the strong technology that they have at assembling the kind of infrastructure they have at scale. And really, it's at very large scale, and that's not an easy trick. But it's a multi-cloud world, and it will increasingly become more and more diversified. And we see a lot of room for different cloud offerings that will differentiate themselves across a number of areas. For example, security. and security guarantees and compliance certifications and things like that is one area that we think we'll see some differentiation over, things like PCI compliance, SAS 70, etc. That's one area. Other areas will be functionality based. Are you offering load balancing on a hardware basis? Are you offering it on a software basis? So there's one kind of functionality. Another one might be geographical location. Where are your cloud resources located? Europe, Asia, US, and even finer grain than that. And pricing is another area. It's probably nobody's favorite to compete across. Support is another area, and specifically in relation to Rackspace, it's a company whose motto is fanatical support. So in terms of their entry into the space, that's most welcome. They're actually a partner that we've been cooperating with. It was news that we were anticipating, and we're just delighted at their entry. They have their own particular profile in the business world. They serve a lot of enterprise customers, have a long history of doing that. They just went public a couple months ago, and it's based on the strength of the business they've built up in managed hosting. And some of the attributes that have helped them succeed there will flow over into their cloud offering. And so we expect differentiation there. So at the end of the day, we think these additional entries and the fact that it's a multi-cloud world is going to move the whole market forward. Interestingly enough, benefiting Amazon as much as anyone else and giving customers more choice.
Sure. I think the more offerings there are, more customers will be comfortable picking one or the other, knowing that they have those options available.
Yes.
I saw a quote in one of the online publications, IT World, around Cloud Computing Symposium. I think it was hosted by the Software Development Forum here in Silicon Valley. And James Dayton, one of the analysts, said something about cloud computing and internal clouds, which I wanted to get your opinion. The quote was, interestingly, he poo-pooed one trend forecast as being high potential for clouds, internal clouds. Essentially, James Dayton believes that enterprises cannot create internal clouds that will be cost competitive with external clouds and therefore will ultimately fail. However, he did see a bright future for virtual private clouds, similar to VPNs, which could carve out sections of a public cloud and provide cloud services with the appropriate enterprise features. A lot of people have talked about that people are going to do cloud computing no matter what, and that there will be an option to do it externally. Some larger companies might do it internally. Do you agree with James's statement that the internal clouds are doomed for failure, or do you see something in between?
Well, it's an excellent question, and I know James, he's a really smart guy. I wouldn't put it as strongly, and here, as is obvious, we're all speculating about the
Sure,
future and what might happen.
just
I wouldn't
opinion.
put it as strongly as it's doomed to failure, in our opinion. I think it's a very unclear area, and there's a lot of speculation this way and that about it. The reality is, on the public cloud side, there's a lot of traction. There are, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of cloud servers in use every day, whereas the private cloud picture is more about speculation toward the future and a number of players talking about what will happen. So I would say more we see a question mark there. The aspect of the quote that we would agree with is RightScale is focused today around public cloud offerings, and we do see a whole segment of our customer base is larger companies and enterprises utilizing the public cloud in addition to or outside of their own data center resources. There's talk about organizing the internal data center resources in cloud architectures that would then spill out. There's some question marks around that technically, having to do with how the networking would work and how you deal with bandwidth and latencies across different data center locations and so on. So I think there are a number of issues that would have to be solved, in addition to which is one big one, which is one of the appeals of the cloud, one of the disruptive characteristics, starting with its pay-as-you-go and inexpensive. It's on demand, meaning you can launch a server through an API virtually instantaneously. The other key one is that the resources appear to be virtually infinite. We know that nothing's really infinite in terms of servers and data center resources. That's ridiculous, but they do appear to be virtually infinite for all intents and purposes for most of the customers using the cloud. And so if you try to duplicate that internally, that's a tough nut to crack, except for maybe the top 50 companies in the world, to really create that same illusion. Whereas companies like Amazon and others, as they enter in, have created that, and they have their own way of amortizing the usage across so that they can, if you need to spin up 1,000 virtual servers, you can do so. And then scale them down and use nothing. Well, that's a different kind of a trick when you're managing your own internal cloud. So I would have to say that based on that, as well as the other reasons I mentioned, I think he does raise a good point. To us, it's a question mark more than that we're predicting doom there.
Great. And the one other news item I wanted to mention before we jump into some RightScale specific Q&A is the IDC came out with a new forecast for cloud services expected to reach $42 billion by 2012, growth bolstered by the economic crisis. Is maybe from your perspective as a CEO, as a company playing in this market, is market size still a concern? Do you spend a lot of time either with customers or other constituents for RightScale talking about market size still?
We don't. Both the folks that have invested in RightScale and continue to invest, we had a round that closed with Benchmark Ventures in April. I think people who recognize what cloud computing is about realize that it's a very, very large market, and whether it's 42 billion or 150 billion, as another analyst firm predicted a few months ago, in whatever year, that's not really the question. So we don't see a lot of questioning around market size either among analysts and investors or among our customers. People are compelled to look at the cloud by those disruptive factors that I mentioned, and especially by just the efficiencies, both in terms of cost and in terms of maintenance. They're very, very compelling. Their radical efficiencies compared to the past, and so it's driving usage and adoption, and really independent of market size predictions. Of course, we're in the business by virtue of being convinced that there's a very, very large market for this, but yeah, that's how I would answer.
Okay, great. Well, let's jump into some RightScale specific Q&A. First, we've hinted a little bit at some of what your company does and the services provided, but let's take a step back, and if you could just set a general framework of where the cloud computing providers end, so to speak, and where the RightScale management software and the enhancements that you bring to customers begins, and if you could sort of set the stage for us there.
Sure. So the RightScale vision really encompasses sort of two different levels. The first one is how we deal with customers today and the points of value we offer. And there are really three points, major points of value. One is around the management system and the automation that it provides. So it is a fact, RightScale is a software as a service company itself, and you access us through a web dashboard. And that becomes basically the portal into your view, your virtual data center in the cloud. So that's one point of value. There's a management system with a lot of automation behind it. Second point being prepackaged components or prepackaged solutions for very common tasks. How do you automate scalable web front end? How do you automate running a database in the cloud that's resilient, has failover built into it, and is backed up? And thirdly, how do you run a grid framework of batch processes? So that's another component that we offer of value, and the third one being expertise and support. So people come to us because they're looking for solutions that are based on best practices. They're looking for guidance and advice about the best way to deploy their application in the cloud. And those are the three points of value that we offer to customers today. And then in a longer range vision, really the RightScale platform is designed to be an ecosystem with three constituencies. One is the customers that I just mentioned. The second would be independent software vendors, so ISVs who look to RightScale as a way of getting their software that's already built delivered more easily to customers in the cloud infrastructure. And so an example of that might be anything from a database vendor to a blogging software company to a load testing company or wikis, etc. All of those are examples of ISVs that partner with us to deliver their software. The third constituency being cloud providers themselves. So the Amazons, the GoGrids, Rackspace, etc. of the world. Those folks plug in. They love the fact they can get a state-of-the-art management system, and they like the fact that we bring some content. Both customers and ISVs, as the world has gone multi-cloud, really don't want to face a world where they develop once for Amazon and have to do it over again for Rackspace, over again for GoGrid, and that any mobility between those platforms is restricted by differences in implementation. They love the fact that they're eventually going to get cloud portability by building on top of the RightScale platform.
I want to pick up on one term you use there, multi-cloud. There is discussion, and I suppose two sides of the opinions here. I think certainly we're seeing the presentation of multiple offerings from multiple cloud providers. And you might be in the best position to know, on the customer side, the enterprises, as an example, or the web-based companies that are using cloud services, are we at multi-cloud use on behalf of the customers yet? I know we can know that that's coming, but wanted to get your opinion there.
We are at it at an early stage, but we have several customers, and they are larger customers, who, as part of the process of moving on to the Amazon cloud, actually had as an IT policy requirement internally to build a DR version or a disaster recovery version of whatever they were building on the Amazon cloud somewhere else. And before these other cloud offerings came out, in a couple cases, they cobbled together solutions on other hosting providers, more traditional managed hosting, because their company policy just would not tolerate having only a single source
Understood.
provider. So multi-cloud can mean many things. I think the farthest away is some notion of having a few servers here, a few servers there. That's fraught with a lot of technical concerns. But at an earlier level, what's of high value is the notion that you can have, first of all, choice among different clouds that have different attributes and that we talked about are differentiated according to different benefits. And then on the other hand, being able to have a backup system that's completely divorced in terms of data center locations and even business relationship as a DR solution for whatever you're building in one cloud.
Gotcha. One other thing you mentioned when talking about some of the things RightScale delivers is this idea of prepackaged components. And one of the taglines on your website is everything you need to get started. So if I'm doing a simple website and want to have my Apache servers and basic MySQL database functionality, are those software components actually they're delivered to me within the RightScale framework?
Yes, they are. So that's that second point of value I mentioned of prepackaged solutions. So one of the editions of RightScale is called the Website Edition, and it's really directed toward a Web 2.0 type of deployment where you've got Apache and you're doing web serving, and that needs to be load balanced and scalable. And behind it is a database, and the most popular one that we support is MySQL. And so what we've done is build configurational smarts on top of those basic open source components and pre-configured scripts and functionality that allow the servers to auto-scale, that allow operators to perform take the database case, what hopefully are uncommon scenarios, but very critical when they happen, things like, wow, I need to restore from a backup, or I want to kill the master and promote the slave to a master, things like that. If an operator needs to do that, instead of whipping out the manual and looking at command line terms, they click a single green button that runs the scripts that take care of all of that for the customer, according to best practices. So we've dealt with all of the locking issues and the timing issues and data consistency and resiliency and things like that built into the platform.
Gotcha. And then you also have a grid addition, and I assume that's some added functionality on top of what you just described.
Yes, that's a second edition. And if you think about the first edition, the most typical scaling requirements have to do with user-based traffic, either visits or data coming from users. The Grid edition deals more with processing that is based and accumulated by discrete jobs. So imagine, examples are videos that need to be transcoded from one format into another, or health insurance claim forms that need to be analyzed, or maybe it's a biopharma application where there are protein molecule analyses that need to be run. And those would be anything from, thousands of jobs to, in some case, tens of millions of jobs that get fed in through a queue. And then the operator can define certain collars around how many servers you'd like to run at a single time in order to work off that job queue.
Gotcha. So
And
basic parallel functionality.
exactly what used to be called, grid, it still is called grid computing. And, some of the niceties around that, in some ways that sounds simple. You just read the jobs off, fire off servers to take care of them. But it gets more complicated when you look at, in terms of best practices. Okay, we ran 10,000 jobs last Monday, and the servers spun up and processed those jobs and then went away. Well, what happened on server number 573 when it seems like it hit an error at 2:03 p.m.? What happened there? So one of the things that our Grid Edition takes care of is things like log consolidation and persistence so that you can go back and look what happened on a cloud resource that was deployed temporarily and then went away. We persist what needs to be persist, and we give you the ability to search through it so that you can audit these large grid runs and be able to go back and see what happened if you need to.
Great. So many people are talking about the added value market for web services and value add beyond the basic cloud computing functionality. And so as these battles between the giant purveyors ensue, Amazon, Google, Microsoft, how do you characterize the areas of value-added services which are the focus for Rightscale? And then separately, are there some other value-added services that are their own segments that maybe Rightscale isn't pursuing at this time? Do you have a way that you'd break out some of the aspects of the market there?
Sure. So the area that Rightscale really focuses on is the gap between low-level infrastructure resources and companies that want to deploy applications. And we try to fill in that gap through the management system, the automation, prepackaged components, and then the initial coaching that helps companies understand cloud architectures and migrate their applications or build their applications for the cloud. That's the area we deal with. Most of it, while some of our technology deals with storage components, particularly things like S3 and now the new Elastic Block Store, the EBS functionality, most of what we do is around the compute side of the house. There are all kinds of other solutions out there that have to do with the storage side. One of which was part of the acquisition by Rackspace when they bought Jungle Disk. And there are other companies out there that also deal with how do we give an easy-to-use interface to the fact that there's now a huge hard disk in the sky, if you will. So that's an area we don't really deal with. It's a separate market. But we're focused pretty centrally on how do we deploy our applications, and what drives our business is customers. And it's customers who engage us and say, we want to do X. And really, Rightscale is the end result of evolution of talking with literally thousands of customers who've signed up for our free edition, and then as a business proposition, want to do something bigger in the cloud than just, maybe run a single server or play around.
Right. On that customer note, are there any recent case studies, either anonymous or public, that you could tell us about?
Sure. Well, a couple of actually that were not case studies done by us, but are in the press now. I think pretty much by now everybody's heard of the Animoto example, which is a Web 2.0 company that has had several very big scaling events. They had one last spring where we helped them grow from 40 servers to 4,000 servers because their Facebook plugin went viral. They had a more recent event that's less publicized where they scaled to over 6,400 cores. Part of the migration that they did in the meantime was go from the small instances on Amazon to the 8-core instances. So in that case, it was fewer instances but more cores. So it wasn't just an isolated event. But in terms of other references, there's a company that does an open source wiki called MindTouch. And they've just released a whole new generation of their technology hosted in the cloud using Rightscale. And they have some nice blog entries, I think more than one, up at mindtouch.com. You can find them that chronicle what they did in the cloud and how they're leveraging the cloud to help their business and how they used Rightscale.
Those are some great examples.
Another example, I've forgotten the publication, but there's a story from our customer TC3 Health of how they're using Rightscale. I mentioned earlier health insurance claim form analysis. They're a software company that works with the large health insurance companies to help analyze claim forms that come in and help identify the ones that are improper or fraudulent, so that health insurance companies aren't paying for claims that that they shouldn't be. And they're the ones that process in the tens of millions at a go. And they have a nice article. I think if folks searched on the webs, they would see that. And they're a user of RightScale's Grid edition.
Very interesting. So we've heard a little bit now about RightScale's expansion to other clouds. I believe you launched with a framework for Amazon, but now covering several different clouds. You mentioned GoGrid, Rackspace. Are there any other things that you want people to keep their eye out for as far as new functionality or partners coming up in the near term?
Well, in terms of new functionality, we bring that out all the time as a web-based SaaS service. We're bringing out new features almost on a monthly basis. One thing that I would like to call the listeners' attention to is we have a webinar series that we're kicking off starting, I believe it's next week. It's up on our site, and the webinar series is going to cover a variety of issues I think that are of interest. These are not just sales pitches. They're really content-rich tutorials and case studies with customers. They'll be covering the first one, I think, is about auto-scaling and the architecture that's implicit within RightScale, how we think is the best practice way of designing servers and server templates to allow applications to scale automatically and how the plumbing works there. And then we'll also have a follow-on series on other related topics. And then we'll have a series that features case studies, if you will, or highlights customers and what they've built on top of RightScale, what their experience has been in the cloud in general, and how they're leveraging our platform to help them move their business forward.
So it's just a lot to learn there over the next couple months, I guess.
I think so.
Great. Well, I wanted to just move ahead and add a new section to the show, which I'm calling Cloud Tips for now. One of the fun parts about talking about cloud computing is there's the business angle and the infrastructure angle, which we pay a lot of attention to. But then there's also the side of affecting people as either office productivity or personal productivity. And I thought we'd do a segment each time as to maybe your favorite cloud service, either as a working in a business or just a consumer. Are there any favorite cloud services that you have on top of mind that you just want to mention?
Oh boy, that's a good question. One of the things we're trying to do is build RightScale itself based on SaaS offerings. And so we're in the process of sorting that out ourselves. In terms of actual cloud services, I guess the one I love best is our own. And would just like to throw out that we do have a free edition of RightScale that is really permanently free and provides a lot of basic functionality for people to get started with. And just would encourage folks, whether it's us or another service, to go out and give it a try earlier rather than later. I believe all of us are on the early end of the curve of what's happening in the cloud market, and just would encourage experimentation.
Great, great. Well, I'll add one on my own, and this was probably one of the first ones that I started using from a work perspective, which is the Basecamp offering from 37 Signals, which is an online project management suite. And I've just found it to be really helpful. And so now I'm going to try to keep a running list of all the applications that I'm using, and talk about that briefly on each show. So that was
Very
my
good.
cloud tip for the week.
I think I'm familiar with that one. It's a great one. I will throw out a shout out for one particular one since you asked. It's called EchoSign, and EchoSign is a SaaS-based cloud service that is all around agreements and the electronic signing of agreements, and it really eliminates a lot of the hassle. We use it at RightScale, a lot of the hassle around faxing agreements back and forth or emailing
Oh, I
scanned
hate
signatures. Yep.
faxing.
Well, check out EchoSign. Great
Great,
service.
great. Actually, we purchased a house recently, and our realtor used a similar service. And boy, you can see the paperless wave really hitting, much stronger than it was a couple of years ago.
Yes.
Great. Well, Michael, thank you so much for joining us. Could you let us know where people can find more info about RightScale or anything else you think they should know about?
Well, there are three mechanisms. You can go to our website, rightscale.com, shoot us an email. Probably the most responsive part of the company is sales at RightScale, and those folks are quite technical, so they're happy to answer technical questions also. And then we have a toll-free number if you just want to call us, and that's also up on the website.
Perfect. Well, thanks everyone for listening today. Thank you again, Michael, for joining us. And for more details and show notes, please visit thecloudcomputingshow.com or email us at thecloudcomputingshow@gmail.com. Until next time, we'll see you then. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.